everybody, welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real grandfather, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously. Is this how you wear your glasses now? Is this it?
I really enjoy being punched in the face. This is why
I think so. Yeah. You look very Santa Claus vibes.
I was going for a sexy librarian, but I don't think that's working for anybody here. Put them back up here. So,
well, yeah. I mean, your hair is up. If we take them off and pull your hair down, you shake it out a little bit. Maybe there's something in there for you.
If I take my hair down a little bit and shake it, probably will all fall out. So that's probably.
So that's a no.
No, I'm afraid not. All right, I need it too badly.
You can put your glasses back on. I'm sorry. I shamed you out of wearing.
When I put the glasses on, I can see not only the computer monitor, but also the reflection of the computer monitor in the video monitor of my video. So it's even more distracting than just not being able to see the computer monitor.
Yeah, you could just listen. I think you could probably honestly put a blindfold on and just hear this episode.
As the audience surrogate, I feel like this is the most appropriate way to experience the episode is without being able to see either of us. Yeah.
Oh, man. How's your week going?
Really poorly.
It's Monday.
It's great. It's
good. I feel like most of your weeks when I ask have been going poorly. How are you? How's your life?
Still here. Still Monday. Still here.
Do you need help with anything?
No. I need a lot of help from one time zone away. Yeah.
I feel safe asking because, I'd love to be the one to provide that for you.
I know.
Yeah.
That'd be so nice. But I moved 1,000 miles away, so...
We should have had this conversation 3 years ago when I was so close to you.
You should have asked me 3 years ago.
I didn't even occur to me till just now.
Here we go. Yeah.
Till just now. Anyway. Gosh. And that's on me. And you know what? Mea culpa. That's on me.
Was that like a...
I don't know. I heard some Hollywood guy say it once, and it sounded really cool.
No, but so. I am looking forward to some relief that is going to be provided this week, so really from the stresses of daily life, and that is we leave for Toronto in like...
Oh, you and I do.
72 yes. hours.
Yeah. Now, what time is your flight on Friday?
I don't know. I'm just going to go to the... As soon as I get out of work on Thursday, I'm just going to go straight to the airport and just wait.
That's what I also have no idea. And I scheduled, a friend of mine, we scheduled a little like get together and chat over Zoom. And I was like, well, I can do Thursday. I'm pretty free on Thursday. And I was like, yeah, we could do 9 o'clock on Thursday. And I checked, I remembered that we had a flight and I was like, well, it's probably like 11 o'clock. I'll be fine. Yeah. It's at like 8 a.m. and it's the airport. Now that I live in the middle of nowhere, the airport is in DC 2.5 hours away. So I was waking up at 3 a.m. on Friday, and I had not done this math previously, and I told him, I'm so sorry. I'm canceling. And Friday morning, I'll be waking up so fucking early to go to the airport, but I am glad I checked. Mm-hmm.
The other good thing is, on the airplane, there is no too early for ordering beers. When they come by, like the sun has not even come. The sun does not even come up 2 time zones over, and they're still like, "What are you thinking, Schlafly? Yeah. Maybe a Bloody Mary? Get the day going right." I'm like, "It's still air yesterday." Law. Yeah, air law up here
doesn't matter. I think I'm landing first of all the guys.
That's good. Yeah, you'll get a head start, an unfair advantage.
Yeah, and I think I'll wait for Cody, but you're coming in, I think, several hours later than me.
Are you going to make me look up my flight time?
Yeah, let's hash this out while everyone's listening. Yeah. That sounds good. Because I am landing. Oh, gosh, what time am I landing? I land at 10:04 a.m. in Toronto.
Cut all this out of the thing.
Jeremy would never.
I land at 2 p.m.,
Oh, I'm not waiting for that. Eastern time. Oh, no. You're going to miss everything.
I will.
Nah. I think Cody's landing at like 11:30.
Leave me to die. Just leave me to die in the Toronto airport.
Well, Will will come and pick you up and take you to, I guess, near a strip club is where he goes immediately. He is a degenerate, and I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. just kidding. We love Will. And please pay me my money that you owe me, Will. Anyway, yeah, that's happening. That's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. I've been looking up haunted places in Toronto, actually, because I think it would be cool if there are some close to where we'll be, or we could just like take pictures together
in
front of them. And what I found is like, so we're like downtown, and the haunted places are all kind of like 15 blocks outside of that.
Okay.
So they're accessible by foot for sure,
but not
like where we'll be. So we'll have to play it by ear and see how we feel. but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that'll be nice.
So do they take American money up there? They do, right? I would assume so.
How do we pay for Dark Knight? That was probably with America.
Probably credit cards. Credit cards, probably.
Yeah.
Cash.
You have one of those still, right?
I think it'd probably just cash. I think probably give them the American money and they're like, fine, stupid. This is worth like 10 times more up here.
Oh, they don't exchange. They don't adhere to the exchange rate, but they do take the money. Yes, yeah, for sure.
Like, that'll be 18 Canadian dollars.
$87 Canadian. Okay, here's $87. Oh.
Oh, wow. Looks like I'm going to see the movie too. This is great.
That's a good question. And I don't know the answer. I just assume Visa has this covered for me. So I give him my card and I say, do whatever you want.
Yeah. Do your worst, you filthy Canuck.
What is the food you're most excited to eat? Have you thought about this?
Oh, probably moose. Probably
moose. I think moose must be, it must be protected species up there.
That's the only place you can find it up there is Canada.
Well, that may be true.
You know what? If we see it on the menu, I'll get some.
Obviously, if you see it on the menu, you're going to get some. And actually, now that I say this, when we went to New Orleans, of course, you get alligator. This is like same thing.
Mm-hmm. I think, the symbol of the city.
Yeah. Can you eat moose
in po'boy form?
Let's see. I don't think they have po'boys, but they probably put, oh, yes, you can eat moose in Canada.
Yeah.
And most parts of the moose are edible.
I didn't want to go that far. Have you ever had moose haggis? I have not had moose haggis before. Man,
have you ever had haggis at all?
I have not. It's not on my
list. Oh, boy. One time, I went with my Uncle Jerry there's a place in St. Louis that is on Sarah Street. I don't remember the name of it. It's a classic, like, Scottish, like, Scotch pub, Scottish pub.
Is it the Scotch Arms?
It may be. Yep. That sounds right.
Closed. But yeah.
For good reason, because we were like, well, this may be our only chance to have haggis. And we ordered it, and I don't know how to put it into words how how much I wished to God for death when eating it. It's so bad. I think my sister has it on video somewhere. It's not excellent. It's bad. Would you like to know different ways that Canadians eat moose?
I'm actually Googling moose haggis, but you go ahead.
They can roast it, they stew it, they grill it and barbecue it, they smoke it, they dry it, they mince it. When you mince it, you can make moose burgers or meatballs or, of course, meat pies. Search now. Toronto meat pie. No, moose meat pies.
Excellent.
Toronto moose meat pies. I guess we're eating moose when we go to Toronto, because there are a lot of returns here, my friend. Okay. Well, it's upsetting and exciting all at the same time.
Like so many of these trips.
Yeah, that's true. Anything else you want to talk about before we dive in?
No.
Now, by the time people hear this, of course, we've been to Toronto, so
right.
I should ask.
One of us has returned. I do. Spent most of it at the airport, actually. I bet we had a blast. I bet we sure did.
And we probably took some ghost photos. So go check out Is This a Ghost on Instagram and look at the photos we probably definitely might have taken. All right. Well, I do have a ghost story for you, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Wham! Beep,
beep, beep. I have to label these buttons. Oh boy. But that is the sound, like, you know, that we're getting started. So I will say, Juan Manuel de Ayola y Aranza.
Mm-hmm. Was born. Is that one guy? Is that several guys? I don't...
One gentleman.
Okay.
He was born on December 28th, 1745 in Andalusia in España.
Oh, okay.
You been to Spain?
I have not. No.
Beautiful country.
Oh.
I've been there, I don't want to brag, 2 times. One of them with a wife who did not like me. So that was a strange trip.
Very liberating, though. Like, what do you want to do today?
For one of us.
What the fuck you care? Okay. It's fair. It's fair.
Great country, though. When Juan Manuel was 14 years old, he joined the Spanish Navy. Mm-hmm. In the early 1770s, the Spanish royal authorities ordered an exploration of Northern California.
Oh.
The purpose was, quote, to ascertain if there were any Russian settlements. So people have been accusing Californians of being communists for a long time.
It's kind of a roundabout trip, though. I mean, if you're going to accuse Russians of something, you just do it out in the open.
It would be much easier to like just go to Russia and be right. Like, Jacques, yes. Or whatever they say in Spanish.
Instead, they're like, we're going to go on the opposite side of the globe, which we've only just recently figured out is kind of shaped that way.
And we're not entirely convinced it's actually shaped that way. Yeah, that's a trip for sure. Now there was already a land expedition underway in the New World, but this was going to be a naval expedition. Mm-hmm. So Ayala was a lieutenant by this time, and he was assigned to the naval expedition. They sailed from Spain to Mexico. Mm-hmm. They landed in Veracruz in August of 1774. From there, they hoofed it to Mexico City to get their orders. Now, there were several boats in this fleet that was meant to go up the coast of California. And Ayala was given command of a schooner named Sonora.
Hmm. And Sonora, you know, famously means...
Your wife is a Spanish language teacher, I think.
Yeah, that's why I don't have to answer. That's why I don't have to answer.
Oh, sure. Sonora means beautiful corn silk.
I love it. That's right. It's dead on. Yep.
Yes. Now, the Spanish did think that grapes were corn. They're so stupid. Because now I think of Sonoma. Well, I've messed this up. Amy? Amy, can you come help?
Fix the podcast. I demand it.
Hey, Jeremy, call Amy and just have her like kind of patch in the right word in my voice, though. It'd be great. So he's given command of a schooner. However, just before the whole gang sets sail, the captains of one of the other ships in the fleet, Don Miguel Maringue, went quite mad.
Oh.
And I don't know exactly how that manifested, but I have some really fun images in my head. So Ayala was ordered to take over his ship instead. So so Ayala now finds himself commanding a packet ship called the San Carlos. And you know what a packet ship is, I'm sure.
Yeah. We're like, but they keep all the sugar packets because of all the tea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, one, the one with the tea and then the other one with the sweet and low.
Yeah. And Yeah. Spanish people, obviously very famous for enjoying tea with sweet and low.
Yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Yeah. Sweet and low. Or in Spanish, I think it's sucre y bajo. I'm pretty sure that's.
Well, I would love to say mean things about that, but that is literally how I would have translated it as well. So let's move on. As far as I can tell, packet ships were, it's a name given for ships that were made to carry packages, like kind of like cargo and stuff. Yeah,
like the Amazon van of the 18th century.
It's very much like the Amazon van of the 18th century in the sense that if you're behind it and you're trying to get home to your port and that just ship just like stops And then the captain gets out and just gets in a rowboat and takes 19 hours to fucking paddle to shore and drop the boat off. And he's listening to his AirPods and it's like and not paying attention.
And he also has like an orchestra on board playing so fucking loud you can't hear yourself think.
God. When we lived in Berwyn outside of Chicago before coming here to Virginia, it's less of a problem here. Maybe surprised to learn where there are no people, but when we lived at a place with lots of people, like I would say about 17% of the time, I would drive down my street to get to my house. There was a fucking Amazon van, and these are one-way streets, and there's cars on both sides, and it's like, just stop here,
sure.
And then you would just not see the driver, like would just be, I don't know where they would go. They would just like leave for a while, and you would just be sitting there. For sometimes like 10 minutes.
A lot of time to reflect, though. A lot of time to reflect on life and your day. On
ways to murder people without being charged for it.
I used to like catch up on my my emails. You know, like, well, I'll be here for a little while. And return a couple emails here.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that was a packet ship. So now he has a packet ship. Now, packet ships are particularly good in shallow waters because they're wider but flatter, like not a barge. So deep.
Yeah,
they're like a barge. Yeah, yeah. So they're good in shallow waters, like canals or like, you know, ports of entry.
Mm-hmm.
So when the fleet gets up to what is now San Francisco, they see this gap in the land that is called the Golden Gate.
Oh, okay. I think I know where this is going.
I don't know if you do. Let's find out. Obviously, you know the Golden Gate Bridge. So do you know? Oh,
that's where I thought it was going.
And that's when they built a bridge. End of story. No ghosts this week. Thank you, everybody. Do you know what the Golden Gate is? Where the name of the Golden Gate Bridge comes from? Because I did not.
I have no idea. No. It's all news to me.
I read this thing. It was like, well, they found the Golden Gate. Mm. And they did not explain what that was. And I was like, what the fuck is actually the Golden Gate? So the Golden Gate is the name given to the entry point into the Bay of San Francisco.
Okay.
The Golden Gate Bridge, of course, spans that space. I don't know who named it the Golden Gate. I'm sure that information is readily available. Did not do the work to figure it out.
Only 24 hours in the day and only one of them dedicated to studying for the podcast.
I'll tell you what. That's right. So they find this this entry point into the San Francisco Bay, which is very famous for being you know, in San Francisco.
Yeah, full of sea lions. Being in the
opening shot of sea lions and and Full House and all that. So once he's inside the bay, and again the packet ship can go in very easily. So that's why he goes in. By the way, didn't write this down. I should have noted. So the fleet was like, hey, do we have any ships that can maybe like go over the shallow water into the bay? And he's like, I got one. And they're like, okay, go ahead. So he sails on in, and inside the bay, he's the first person, as far as they know, to discover what's inside the bay. Now, again, as is pretty common on this show, there were lots of indigenous people who had spent a lot of
lots
time
of humans already there.
Yeah.
On the shores of the bay, like doing their shit.
But this guy discovered it, and he discovered a handful of islands inside there. And one of them, one of the islands inside the San Francisco Bay, he notices is covered with brown pelicans.
Ooh. Okay.
Which is apparently still a common thing. And so then, of course, he names it because he discovered it, so he gets to name it. Even though people have been on this island for fucking hundreds of years, he discovered it, so he names it Isle of the Pelicans.
I have exactly 3 seconds to name this island.
If you're going to call dibs and you've got a ship full of like 50 people, I get it, because you're going to be like, Isle of Pelicans. Nope, that's what it is. Can't, come on, nope, no, Bob, no, Bob. Bob?
You heard me. Everyone heard me. Everyone heard me.
Now, the Spanish word for pelican is, as you know, go ahead. What do you, you know what it is, I'm sure.
Sonora.
God, wouldn't that be ironic? The Spanish word for pelican is pelicano.
cheating.
I think I got the thing right. Yeah, I did do the research. Yeah. That's true. but for some reason, Iola uses a different word for pelican. Hmm. Instead of using kind of the modern, which was, I think in his contemporary time, it was still the modern word for pelican. Hmm. Instead of using that word, he decides he will use a word from Spanish antiquity.
Hmm.
Maybe it's to honor his ancestors. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's to honor, you know, the home country, whatever.
Maybe it's just to, like, flex in front of the guys on the barge. Who knows?
Bet you all didn't know this was a word. Which is actually, I say that dismissively, but that is what I would do.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Not to be pedantic, but let me be the most pedantic you've ever heard.
In fact, that is the Isle of Pedantic. Did you know?
So, anyway, he uses a word from Spanish antiquity for pelicans, and the name that he gives the island in Spanish is Isla de Alcatraces.
Mm.
Now, you may be shocked to learn that today that island is known as
Pelican Island.
Yes.
Yes.
In a sense. Any other guesses?
Alcatraz.
No, you fucking idiot. No, it's called Yerba Buena. Nice try.
What? Okay.
I was also so confused. We'll come back to this.
Okay.
This island that he discovered is now Yerba Buena. If you go and you Google map it, you'll see Yerba Buena. Mm-hmm. And it's there, and that's what they call it, and it's not Alcatraz. So don't you feel stupid. But about 30 years later, an English naval officer named Captain Frederick W. Beachy. That's what I have.
Freddie Bitchy.
Freddie Bitchy sails into the San Francisco Bay, and he saw this much smaller island in front of Yerba Buena, and he says, "Aha! There it is! Alcatraz!" And the crew is like, sir, actually, that other bigger island behind it, that one is the one they call the Alcatraz. Is that that bigger one is Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
And he summoned up, I guess, all his purest white man energy. And he said, oh, no, this one is Alcatraz. That one there, something else. Perhaps Yerba Buena.
Mm-hmm.
So the one initially named Island of the Pelicans, Isla de Alcatraces, is not actually Alcatraz. It is actually Yerba Buena, but they're like 20 feet to the left.
Yeah.
Is a smaller island that some idiot white man was like, there it is, Alcatraz.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I thought this was just like a Pringle crumble on the map, but no, it turns out, no. Nope, this is Alcatraz.
Sir, I actually, it's so embarrassing, but Alcatraz is over there. This is Alcatraz, and forever shall be known as such.
And anyone who chooses to argue with me shall be imprisoned on this island. In fact, I'm onto something here.
I have an idea suddenly. I think this is good. And of course, this smaller island that is one big rock becomes known as Alcatraz. Now, Alcatraz is not—it's not a cool island.
No. I mean,
go ahead.
It's pretty cool.
Well, if you've seen the Nicolas Cage Sean Connery movie, The Rock,
I mean,
it's
that's
super fucking cool. Yeah.
If you've ever been bored like Saturday afternoon and you've been flipping through channels, and The Rock is on. I mean,
man, I'll tell you, I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but I do remember very distinctly. I don't remember much about the movie itself. Mm-hmm. I do very clearly remember me loving that movie so much and thinking, God, this is a cool movie.
That one, the two Nick Cage movies back to back, The Rock and
Con Air.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, the three then.
Oh.
Yeah. It was The Rock, Con Air, and Gone in 60 Seconds. If any of those movies are on TV during the day, you're stuck. That's it.
I was thinking about Gone in 60 Seconds the other day. I don't know. God, cannot remember why. I think I saw a Mustang Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that movie, I think, is actually like legitimately very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Rock is probably campy and good.
Mm-hmm.
Con Air is very campy and probably not good, but fun. But Gone in 60 Seconds is actually like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it in a long time, so please don't at me if they
triple feature
racial stuff. But
you know what? If we board in Toronto, we're like so hungover we can't even get out of the Airbnb. We're gonna start a movie marathon.
Well, and this kind of brings up another thing that I will just kind of throw out into the ether while you're here, Patrick, is the idea that we might do like Disney movies, like a live watch commentary of Disney movies for Ghost Plus has really garnered a lot of interest. I would say maybe we do Nick Cage movies instead. Ooh. Like sit and like just hang out and watch, you know, a few Nick Cage movies.
I think we would have to have like the wheel of Nick Cage movies that we can spin beforehand, because it needs to be really random, because he's done some just fantastic things and he's done some unwatchable
I don't know
things.
If we have a wheel big enough for all the things to get done. We're going to have to make some tough choices to see what goes on. That would be fun though. Would you like, what if we said like once a quarter, like once every 3 months, you and I watch a Nick Cage movie together and just turn the mics on and just do it.
I love it.
You in?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Yep. This is new. Hey, and if you want to join Ghost Plus to hear this, then go to isthisaghost.com and you'll see how you can sign up, because it would be so, this is going to happen. All right, good. I'm excited. All right. So anyway, Alcatraz is cool. I will scratch what I wrote here. It is a cool island. But it's not like a good island in the sense that you can't like vacation there.
Right. It is a rock.
It is literally a rock.
Yeah.
Hence the name of the cool movie from Nick Cage, The Rock. I was surprised to learn there is one beach, but it's not like, it's like a beach. Mm-hmm. It's like a rock beach.
Yeah.
It's like, this is where The Rock goes a little more gradually into the water.
Still very sharp though.
And call very, it a beach,
yeah,
but
it's not like a. It's kind of a play on words. It's not.
So people are not like clamoring to just like own this island,
sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so this Captain Beachy, he gets there and he's like, "I this is ours now, I guess." And everyone's like, "Okay, that's fine." And then he realizes like, oh, it's not very good actually. We don't really like it. It is Alcatraz.
Right.
We've all decided
yeah.
This is Alcatraz. But we don't want to like do anything here. So it just kind of sits there for a while and no one does anything with it. And really they do nothing with it, which is kind of weird because it's, if you look at a map, it's like, and we, if you want, we actually can look at a map.
Yeah.
Because I was not entirely clear on the location of Alcatraz. It's kind of wild. So I will share with you, Patrick. And if you want to see these, please, friends, join us on our YouTube. So this is, of course, the island. Now, if you zoom out here. So here's Yerba Buena.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Which is the original Alcatraz, the actual Alcatraz. Right. And they're like, no, that's too far away. But like, if we zoom out here, so this is obviously the ocean. If you come into San Francisco, into the bay.
Through the Golden Gate.
It is the first island. Yeah. Under the Golden Gate. It's the first island you see. And it's right in the fucking center. It's a, you know, it's.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you sailed in and you were like, I'm told there's an island in the bay. Called Alcatraz, and you come in, you're like, well, this is a shit island, that but, you it. Know, whatever.
Okay. But that's Alcatraz. But also, like, there must be some value to it, right? Because it is, again, the first, like, what if you put, like, a welcome center there? Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Or a cannon, you know, just anything, really.
Sure. Cannons in this time, better than a welcome center, for sure. For sure. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so it's right there. It's small. It's terrible. It's a rock. But it is, like, right in the literal center of where you enter San Francisco Bay. So there's got to be some value, but no one can find it for a while. Now, by 1846, there's still not even a lighthouse on this island,
mm-hmm.
which again is wild because, as you've seen, it's
it's the middle of everything.
It's the middle of like if you are taking a boat into the bay, you mm-hmm. will hit this island,
right?
Unless you go hard left or hard right.
Yeah, and it's not made of soft stuff.
I know.
It's famously, made of rock.
It's a rock.
I mean, it's.
It's right there. So eventually, the governor of Alta California, which is so, this is all, of course, when Mexico still owned California. Mm-hmm. The governor of Alta California, whose name was Pio Pico, which I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Pio Pico. He was like, Jesus Christ! Will someone please put a goddamn lighthouse on this thing? Because we keep wrecking ships. So in June, are you okay? You keep looking over here. I see shit.
I got Lewis. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Whatever. Hey, Lewis. I'm kind of like trying to do something here.
He's eating really loud. It's like crunching each individual kernel.
Boys got to eat. All right. Where are we here? So...
So we need sort of a light or a beacon or a fire.
We need a
beacon. Someone who's screaming the whole time on the island. Wait a second. I think we may have just killed two birds at one stone.
Someone call Al Capone. We have a job for him. So Pio Pico is like, please God, lighthouse. We have to have a lighthouse. So in June of 1846, he gifts Alcatraz Island to a man named Julian Workman. And the understanding here is that Workman, like, he will get the island for free, which again is not a good island, mm-hmm. but he will just get it for free. In exchange, he will build a lighthouse.
Okay.
And he does,
mm-hmm.
which is helpful and good. But it is still just a small and very rocky island. So a few months later, he sells the island to a man named Francis Temple.
Mm.
And for him, that's straight profit. Mm. Like aside from, I guess lighthouses, you know, cost probably some good money, but
sure,
mostly profit. So he sells it to Francis Temple, who then turns around and sells it again to John C. Fremont, who pays $5,000 in the name of the United States government, who, again, at this point, did not own any of California.
Mm, okay. So now the cannons are going in.
So now the... We'll see. Wink. So Fremont pays $5,000, in which today is about $204,000.
Still, not much.
I feel like it's way too much.
I mean,
knowing the history now, sure.
Yeah, like sure. That's like you can't get a good kitchen renovation done in San Francisco for $204,000.
Well, that is true. Looking at the market locally, yes, that is true. You buy a brand new house in San Francisco for $200,000. Yeah. It is a literal hole in the ground. And you are grateful to have it.
This really sounds like the kind of guy who's given a government budget and being told, like, you have to spend this before the end of the fiscal. And he's like, God, what the fuck do I spend it on? There's nothing out here. Can I buy that? Yerba Buena? No. The one behind it.
I can never afford Yerba Buena. Can I buy that shitty kind of one in the back?
I have $5,000 in my pocket right now. Sold. Sure.
So he does, and 2 years later, in 1848, the U.S. and Mexico signed the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which, as I'm sure you know, ended the Mexican-American War.
Hmm.
And this gave California, formally, to the United States.
Oh, I should have never given it up.
I mean, I'm kind of like a big fan, because
right,
my wife was born there and grew up there, and mm-hmm. like... I don't know if she would have had such an easy time going to New York and then, you know.
So but can you imagine the all-inclusives?
Okay, well, good point, good point.
Just saying, should have held out for more. Should have
held out. Okay, well, I will abstain from this conversation, but I'm happy to let you kind of, you know, dip your toes in that water. So now California is part of the U.S., and let's see, 1 year later, of course, in 1849, the California Gold Rush ignites.
Ooh.
The 49ers come to town.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I will say, very fortuitous timing. Like, for America, like, someone must have known there was gold there. They're like, we have to, we're going to end this war. This is a non-negotiable. We need this land.
Yeah, like this specific chunk right here.
Because, like, 6 months later, it's like, oh, shit, there's a ton of gold here.
It's like, wait till the Mexicans, wait till they get just over the horizon and champagne.
Let's form a football team.
Yeah.
Let's go. So as soon as gold is found in a new part of now America, of course, the U.S. Army starts studying the suitability of Alcatraz Island for the positioning of coastal batteries to protect the approaches to San Francisco.
I told you.
Yeah.
Gotta be the cannons.
Gotta bring the cannons. Cannons are first. It's our gold now, and we will blow the shit out of anyone who tries to take that. Now, these studies, I guess, did prove fruitful because in 1850, President Millard Fillmore ordered that Alcatraz Island be set aside as a U.S. military reservation. He was like, you're right. That is great. That should be, I think we may have more ways to use this. Put a pin in this island. That's ours now. No one else gets it.
And everyone else is like, do you know how hard it is to put a pin in the island? It's all rock.
It's nothing but rock.
Did you not read my notes?
So Fremont, who had bought the island from Mexico, remember, he was like, shit, yes. Okay. This is a payday. Yeah. So the U.S. wants this island. I got this island for them. Like, I'm going to get rich.
Yeah.
He, quote, expected a large compensation for his initiative in purchasing and securing Alcatraz Island for the U.S. government. How do you think that might have gone? Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the U.S. government kind of owns everything around Alcatraz now after the war. So
yeah, that's tricky.
I don't think they're really interested in paying a bunch of stuff to one guy.
Yeah, that quote does continue, but the U.S. government later invalidated the sale and paid Fremont nothing. Worth noting, Fremont did sue the U.S. government, which you will be shocked to learn did not help. And even after he died, his heirs then also sued the U.S. government, and they continued to do so. So for the next 40 years, there was constantly a Fremont suing the U.S. government over this.
Hmm.
Now, the Fremonts, they did not win.
Hmm.
That came to nothing. And this is now U.S. property. So, America decides to use the island of Alcatraz. And in 1853, the Army Corps of Engineers start fortifying the island under the direction of a real human man whose real name was Zealous B. Tower.
Zealous B. Tower, who is in charge of fortifying Alcatraz.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure which, like, JRPG this guy crawled out of exactly.
It's just too perfect to even touch. Zealous B. Tower takes control. Now, the construction takes 5 years, and in 1858, the first version of Fort Alcatraz is completed.
It's like the worst. It's like the worst land at Disneyland, by the way.
No, mommy, no! Yeah. I don't want to go to that one.
I thought we were going to stay at the Polynesian.
Nope, Fort Alcatraz for us this time.
Ah! I'm going to stay in the hole.
Well, it's funny. We'll talk about the hole in a second here. So the first version of Fort Alcatraz is completed, and a garrison of 200 soldiers moves in. When the Civil War breaks out in 1861, that garrison, they mount 85 cannons around the perimeter, just in case.
Yeah. I mean, again, really, really overestimating the South at this point. Like, those guys are having a really hard time finding clean pants on a daily basis. And they think, you know what? I bet they take a submarine. No, hear me out. I bet they take a submarine. What if they
travel over the Rocky Mountains to get here? Yeah, or submarine.
What if they sail all the way down around South America? Again, you know, no Panama Canal at this point, and sail all the way back up and then try to break into San Francisco Harbor? Yeah.
We should be prepared just in case.
You never know. Yeah.
I mean, just in case.
Also, we have so much gold money out here, we don't really know what to do with it. So we should do something, you know.
Yep. So they mount 85 cannons. By the end of the Civil War, they had mounted 105 cannons. So it gets better. Now, I will say this isn't all stupid. It's mostly stupid, but Alcatraz also served as the arsenal for storage of firearms during this time to prevent them from falling into the hands of Confederate sympathizers.
Okay.
Which, I guess, it does make sense. However, like, if you're a Confederate sympathizer in California, the war is so far away. Like, I don't know what you think you're going to do.
Yeah.
With a gun, like, I don't know. Yep. I say, as I'm saying that out loud, I think, like, well, we might find out shortly here in America. So I guess I shouldn't really drag it too much. Now, Alcatraz was meant to form a triangle of defense with Fort Point and Lime Point, which are two other places. But Fort Point wasn't very good, and Lime Point was never built. So that didn't work out. So it was just kind of on its own. Now, you may be surprised to learn that during the entire Civil War, the guns and the cannons they mounted on those walls of Alcatraz did not fire once at a single enemy. But they did use the fort to imprison Confederate sympathizers.
Okay.
So this is the first time that it's being used to imprison Cuban people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they use the island to store guns and ammunition to keep them away from Confederate sympathizers. Mm-hmm. But then also, brilliantly,
bring them in.
That's what we're going to keep.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just dying.
Yeah.
Because there's so many soldiers there. They're like, okay, we've done too good a job. Please give us one Confederate sympathizer to like take a gun and like do some stuff. And we will just be so excited to go shoot that guy
with a cannon.
And no one did. So they're like, what if we, okay, here's an idea. I don't know. What if we bring them inside the walls? They're so close to the guns. We could take the guns and we could shoot them with a cannon. And that is kind of how that went, I think. So once they started using Alcatraz to hold prisoners, the U.S. government realized, like, hey, this is actually kind of built for this. It's kind of great. We may want to hold more prisoners here. Because not only is it an island, but the bay, the San Francisco Bay, it brings in some incredibly strong currents, and the wind is really bad. So it's very hard to get, like, even, you know, small boats out of there. So
yeah, and we've talked about the sea lions. I mean, just well,
we've
absolutely
I wouldn't say we've talked about that. We've mentioned they exist. You want to? So do you want to kind of just?
I mean, they'll steal a sandwich right out of your hand. You don't want anything to do with them.
It's those motherfuckers. Also, the Pacific Ocean is cold as shit. So you know, we've obviously been to the mm-hmm. Pacific Ocean. It's so fucking cold. So even if you do get out of the prison, if you swim out and you're a strong swimmer, if you're mm-hmm. not a strong swimmer, the current will mm-hmm. you know, take you under. If you are a strong swimmer, then the temperature of the water is going to take you under. You're going to have hypothermia. Like, it's a really great place if you want to build a prison where no one will escape from. And the wheels are turning. So in 1870, the government starts leveling out the island to make it just like a little overall better. Again, lots of rocks. They're like, if we can level it, we could build mm-hmm. more stuff here. As your toilet will attest.
Oh, this is just like screaming. I'm not sure if it may be broken now. It may actually be broken.
Jeremy's got this, all right?
I'm sure he does.
Well, in 1870, the government starts leveling out the island, and they level about 100 yards before they're like, fuck, this is so yeah. hard. This whole island is just rocks, so we will not anymore. Yeah. So if you look at Alcatraz today, there is like a yard in front of the prison mm-hmm. that is very flat. And nothing else is flat, because that was as far as I got. So this is when they officially shift their plan from coastal defense, because they're like, we can't make this whole thing flat enough to like hold cannons and mm-hmm. whatever else we need. But maybe we should lean into what it's good at. So mm-hmm. now it becomes a place officially of detention. In 1867, a jailhouse was built on the island, and the next year, Alcatraz was officially designated as a long-term detention facility for military prisoners.
Hmm.
The first prisoners were mostly those Confederate sympathizers, which, you know, don't feel too bad about. but also some Hopi Native Americans who refused orders to send their children away from their families to Indian boarding schools.
Okay.
That is one that I do feel not good about.
Yeah, that feels pretty bad. That's a pretty bad one right there.
Yeah. I guess I do retract all support for white imperialism that may have come through earlier in this episode. In the 1890s, a Spanish-American War breaks out, and the POW population of Alcatraz rose from 26 to over 450. So they're really putting it to work. In 1906, now there was a really big earthquake in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar, this was a very serious earthquake. So it registered a 7.9. And just for reference, this is really, I think, just a reference for you, Patrick,
mm-hmm.
And maybe about like six other listeners. In 1812, you probably know there was an earthquake in New Madrid, Missouri.
Yes. Yep.
It was so strong, it caused the entire Mississippi River to flow backward. That was that particular earthquake was felt all the way from New Orleans to Quebec. Now that earthquake was an 8.8, and that was very large. This earthquake in San Francisco was a 7.9.
Hmm.
So not as big, but pretty serious. What are you Googling? What are you learning?
I can't find a link to it for some reason. Anyway, don't worry.
I would love to worry. What are you?
There is a, oh gosh, it's probably when traveling through New Madrid, when there's a rest stop along there where they have like a thing where you learn about the earthquake, and they have some, you know, some infographics or whatever about it, and they have this really helpful equivalency chart for how large an earthquake is measured in the equivalent of how many toilets flushing at the same time that would be.
Hey, what?
Yes. I what? Mean, yeah. Not a better way to explain it. And I can't find the example of it online.
Did you imagine this in your brain?
It's a surprisingly small number of toilets flushing to equal fairly large earthquakes. I don't know whether toilets flushing are more powerful, more.
Who is this knowledge for?
I'm not entirely sure.
Who's the person who's like, God, I wonder how many toilets flushing this is equal to? And also, like, what by what measure are they comparing?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Well, yeah. I will find it. I'll link it in the show notes.
Well, you're going to have to now because we're leaving that in. Anyway, so this is a big earthquake. It's felt from Eureka, California, which is pretty northern California, all the way down to the Salinas Valley. So it's felt basically throughout half of California. And if you are not familiar with how big California is, that is a lot. Yes.
What?
I don't know. You're
no.
smirking and laughing as if you had some some new info. No?
No. 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 Nothing yet. Still waiting.
All right. So this earthquake in 1906 levels San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So as part of the disaster response, civilian prisoners were transferred to Alcatraz for safekeeping.
Because that was the most important thing going on in 1906. So the whole city is flat now. Used to not be flat, now flat. Huh? What is priority one? Is it getting the sewers working again? No. That can be 3, 4. It's further down the list. Fresh water sounds important, but there's a lot of water out in the bay. So what about...
Should be housing people who are displaced now?
Close. Some of them. What about anyone who's committed a drug crime in the last 25 years? They need to go to Alcatraz right now.
Well, you don't want them running amok and sticking knives into people's faces criminals do.
Yeah, or like smoking marijuana after the earthquake. You don't want that.
Oh, happening. It's even worse. Yeah. Oh my God!
Again, to the rock.
So they all are moved out to Alcatraz, and it's going great. No one escapes. It's going great.
I really appreciated them putting that sign up on the front of Alcatraz. Alcatraz, it's going great.
Alcatraz, pretty good.
Yeah.
So now the ideas are flowing. They're like, everyone's here. It's going. It's really great. We need more space. So in 1909, they begin construction on a huge concrete main cell block for a new prison, complete with a dry moat.
I mean, they have the wet one already, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. This is a cell block that continues to be the island's dominant feature. That's a quote. So now things can get pretty serious, which means on October 12th, 1933, Alcatraz was officially acquired by the U.S. Department of Justice, and it officially becomes a federal prison. This is officially the new place to hold prisoners who caused too much trouble at other federal prisons. On August 11th, 1934, the first batch of prisoners arrive. 137 of them were taken from Leavenworth.
Hmm.
Nothing good ever comes out of Kansas. As we all know. These 137 prisoners were escorted by 60 special agents, U.S. Marshals, and railway security officials. So there's like one like person for about every three prisoners. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, they're a big deal. It turns out Alcatraz, and I was surprised by this, was only actually in use for 29 years.
Hmm.
I thought more.
Well, they got a lot of media out of it.
I was going to say they got a lot of mileage out of the 29 years.
I mean, you got a Clint Eastwood movie. You got a Sean Connery movie.
You have so many movies.
Yeah.
Some of the most notorious criminals in American history did time there, including Mickey Cohen. I think that's what we talked about a few weeks ago, where that's the guy who you slipped a Mickey.
Yes, yes.
I think Mickey Cohen was the head of that Chicago bar. Mm-hmm. We would just do that. Bumpy Johnson.
There are better nicknames out there. That one I would have declined. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like that was chosen by him. Al Capone. George Machine Gun Kelly, the original Machine Gun Kelly, right. not the right. rapper. And Robert Strode, also known as the Birdman of Alcatraz.
Ooh.
About whom there is a movie, strangely. Mm-hmm. And here, oh shoot, here's a fun fact. Let's try this one.
Oh. Yep.
Hello.
No.
Dong.
Sure. Fun fact.
You hit three clicks and then we got to go on. I'm sorry.
We have no time for this. The prisoner who served more time at Alcatraz than anyone else is a man named Alvin Creepy Karpis, who served 26 years.
It was only open for 29.
Correct. Now, if you are wondering, as I was, about why he got the name nickname Creepy, here is a photo of him.
That's it. That's absolutely him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like maybe 5% below Ted Cruz. This is like, but it's close. Again,
It's very close.
So I'm going to assume he was a Leavenworth transplant since he has KSP, the Kansas State Penitentiary.
Very good. Probably so.
So maybe he got out. Maybe he got out 3 years before Alcatraz folded, or I don't know what happened with Alcatraz.
Well, we'll find out.
I mean, besides in The Rock, I know what happens then.
Well, what happened was Ed Harris came in and took it over, and then threatened to destroy the whole world. Here's an additional fun fact.
Dong.
Only four criminals in history have been given the title of public enemy number one by the FBI. Can you name any of them, Patrick?
Mm. Only four ever. I mean, I guess I'll guess Capone.
Nope. Mm. Weirdly, no.
Interesting. No idea.
All right. John Dillinger.
Oh, okay.
Pretty Boy Floyd. Babyface Nelson. And Creepy Karpis.
Wow.
He keeps good company. The other three, although by the way,
the other three got much cooler nicknames out of all this. I mean,
did get cooler names. They also, all three of them were killed before they were captured. So,
okay. You know, die the hero or live long enough.
Let's see yourself become the villain. That's true. Every single one of these guys was the hero for a long time.
Harvey Dent's other famous quote.
They did cut that one out of the movie, but in the comics, it's there. So now Alcatraz has officially become what it's known for today, which is this maximum security prison. Mm-hmm. During its time as a prison, 36 prisoners tried to escape. 23 were caught alive, 6 were shot and killed during their escapes, 2 of them drowned, and 5 are listed as missing and presumed drowned. Mm.
But
which I think is just, that's, they don't know.
Yeah.
So.
They think they know. Some people, but yeah. I don't know.
It's possible some people did escape, but it was very hard to escape. Because again, the prison is, you know what? Just go watch The Rock.
They explain it all the prologue. It's fine.
Yeah, if you want to hear it in a Scottish accent, go watch The Rock. The problem with Alcatraz, though, is that it's very expensive to operate. So it costs about $10 per prisoner, compared to the other federal prisons, which were averaging about $3 a prisoner.
Well, I mean, it's in San Francisco. What do you expect?
That's what I said.
Yeah. It's a lot of avocado toast for those guys. I really don't know.
plus, oh no.
Drink your honey. There you go.
Plus, the salt in the water and the air did erode a lot of the walls. So in 1963, the whole prison's kind of falling apart, and it was ordered closed. Now, probably goes without saying that prisoners died while they were in Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. And we're about to talk about some of the ghosts they left behind. But it is also worth noting... that way before Europeans came to San Francisco, before the Spanish and whomever else, Native Americans here already believed this little, small, tiny rock island was inhabited by evil spirits.
Yeah, I mean, again, with the just the general beauty of the San Francisco, like the Bay Area, and then there's just like this like gray stone in the middle of the bay that grows nothing and allows no life. Yeah,
one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong.
I'm not going close to that island. No way.
Yep, so they were convinced of that. And in fact, some tribes were so sure the island was full of evil spirits that members of those tribes were sometimes sent to that island as punishment.
Oh.
It's like you go there and think about what you did.
Sure, sort of thing. Yeah, like standing in the corner. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, while the evil spirits ravage your mind and body and soul. And sometimes they were there for a short amount of time. Sometimes they were placed there to be there for the rest of their lives. I'm sorry. What are you? You're swinging a cat.
I'm not swinging. I'm trying to. He's eating a lot of cords right now that I don't want him to be eating.
Is that Lewis? Hey, bud.
What do you think?
That's Lewis. That's Lewis for sure.
Don't eat any cords. Don't eat any cords. He won't.
He has to eat cords. He definitely will, and that's fine. So, gosh, where are we here? So, inhabited by evil spirits, punishment. Go there and think about what you did. Oh, yeah. So this is like some places just like attract ghosts, which is actually kind of like Belcourt Castle, which we did a couple weeks ago. Like a lot of the ghosts in that story aren't the people who built Belmont. You know, it wasn't Belmont. It wasn't the people Belcourt. Who built Belcourt. But ghosts were attached to the things the new owners brought in, like the suit of armor and the chandelier and stuff. So sometimes you have like a perfect storm of like place that loves ghost and place where lots of people die with unfinished business, which I think brings us all back to Alcatraz and how great it is. So even before Alcatraz was closed, people started seeing ghosts. Several guards reported seeing strange occurrences, including terrible smells, sounds of sobbing and moaning, and reports of what they called, quote, the thing.
Huh.
The thing was apparently an amorphous entity with glowing eyes that appeared to quite a few inmates and guards.
Can't say it like that.
Why not?
It's definitely one of those things where it's already just like so spooky. Right. I mean, you're on
being there is like, it's
this,
bad.
This chunk of rock in the middle of a bay. If you step into the water, you die. It's full of, you know, like 200 most dangerous people on Earth. And you're like, and I don't know if you heard this, there's a monster here too, just in case you're getting too settled in.
Absolute best case scenario. This is a bad place. And then it's like, oh, also there's an amorphous thing that will eat you. What? The first and longest serving warden of Alcatraz was a man named James Johnston. He had previously served as warden for Folsom Prison and San Quentin.
Oh, interesting.
So he really he knows what he's doing here.
Yeah, I mean he knows. I assume he tried to invite Johnny Cash here. Cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Best friends. So based on like his LinkedIn, you know, profile, he's doesn't seem the kind of guy who would go in for ghosts. But one year during a Christmas party at Warden Johnston's house, a ghostly man appeared in the living room wearing a gray suit, a brimmed cap, and mutton chop sideburns. So I will just go ahead and say are the sexiest of all sideburns. I think we can all agree.
Mutton, the sexiest of meats. Mutton chop sideburns, the sexiest of all sideburns.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's so simple. So as Johnston and his guards stared at the apparition, the room suddenly became very cold and the fire in the stove was extinguished. A few minutes later, that spirit disappeared.
Hmm. Only the mutton chops remained.
And everyone wanted them. Guards also used to talk about the sounds of phantom cannon fire and gunshots. And those same guards would also be alerted to smoke coming from a deserted laundry room on the campus. When they investigated, the smoke was black and thick and drove those guards from the room. But just minutes later, the room was completely smoke-free. Nothing in the room smelled like smoke.
Oh, wow.
One of the inmates of Alcatraz was a man named Abby Maldowitz. Now, Abby was a hitman who worked for a gang, Meyer Lansky's gang, actually. Did you ever watch Boardwalk Empire?
I did not know.
Oh, great show.
Mm-hmm.
10 thumbs up. And doing some of my notes here because you've never seen it because he's a character in that, but you haven't.
Totally fine. Yeah. But, yeah. Like, not prominent enough to get a backspace, nickname, though.
Backspace.
Right.
Yeah. Also was part of Lucky Luciano's gang.
Oh.
Lucky is a nickname. So right. Pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm. Again, no nickname, but probably okay.
Again, the nickname is Lucky. It was something different than Lucky. It was his real name, but it's whatever. Anyway, so. Abby was pretty brutal with his murders, which earned him the nickname Butcher.
Oh, okay, okay. So Abby does have a nickname. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. He does.
Yeah. Abby's the one I was worried about.
Apology accepted.
Everybody else in Alcatraz has a cool nickname. You don't want to come in without one.
Because, you don't.
Because then, for sure. Then you get one, and you don't want one. So you better come in with a good one.
Yeah, you want, if I learned anything from 25th Hour... It's that you want to be beaten real hard in the face mm-hmm. and also have a cool nickname when you go into prison. So Butcher was shanked by another prisoner in the cell block C laundry room during one of his shifts.
Eesh.
And today, Butcher haunts that laundry room. Visitors will sometimes see blood sprayed across the wall. But then they, like, blink.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Oof.
In 1946, three men named Bernard Coy, Joseph Kretzer, and Marvin Hubbard, they decided they would try to escape from Alcatraz. They made it to a utility passageway in cell block C before they were found and shot and killed by the guards. And today, visitors to Alcatraz hear loud clanging noises coming from that empty corridor. When the door is opened into that corridor, noises stop. When they close it, they start up again.
They were trying to try shooting at the noises as well. See,
I think you just take a Molotov cocktail and hurl it down the hallway and see what happens.
Just imagine Sean Connery sitting in the dark, clanging pots and pans together, waiting for people to open up the door again. Just
open up, ghosts. Alcatraz also has a hospital ward, which, as you can imagine, means there's a lot of screaming coming from that part of the building. The original lighthouse that was built in the 1940s is no longer on the island. There's a newer lighthouse, an old one still, but newer than the original. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while on foggy nights, the original lighthouse mysteriously shows up. You can also hear banjo music coming from the showers.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to. I'll shower tomorrow.
Oh, you don't like banjo music?
Maybe in a month, actually.
Fucking prude. Apparently, supposedly, according to legend, Al Capone liked to play the banjo, but did not want to be seen playing a musical instrument because he thought that people would then...
Want him to play it all the time. Want him to play it at their wedding. I get it.
No. Yes. You get it.
Absolutely not.
Good. Thank you for saying that way because I didn't know how to say the.
This is truth. Why. This is why I quit the oboe. Frankly.
yeah. I. It's so weird. Every time I'm like at a party, I'm like, why is there an oboe player here? Mm. Like every time I go to like a fundraiser, it's like, yeah. I paid $100 to come listen to an oboe player.
And you look at the guy and he's playing the oboe and he looks at you.
Yeah, he's dodgy. He is dodgy. Oh, God.
One of the casts fell off the shelf and scared the shit out of me. Oh, man.
Anyway, so Al Capone wanted to play his banjo but didn't want to be heard. And because he was Al Capone, he got special treatment, which we've heard in other stories. Mm-hmm. And so the guards let him have some leeway, and he was allowed to play his banjo in the shower room.
Hmm. It's a bad environment for a banjo, right?
Could be good. Like, you ever hear, like, people who are like, oh, he's singing the shower so well. Like, the acoustics are so good.
It's true.
Bouncing off the walls.
You like, can see that.
Maybe it's the best place to play a banjo.
Could be. Probably pretty rust out pretty quick.
Let's call Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And see what he thinks.
Steve Martin's probably in the shower right now playing the banjo if we call him. Like, oh, it's great. It's not as good as playing the banjo on Alcatraz, but in my own shower, it's not too bad.
But it's a B plus. Yeah. B plus. Park rangers still sometimes hear that banjo music coming from the shower rooms today. The D block seems to be the most haunted section of Alcatraz. That D block was known as the more restrictive area.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the treatment unit. Which is not good. Prisoners there were essentially kept in solitary confinement. All the cells had windows that, well, I should say, the cells that did have windows opened up to the Golden Gate itself, which meant there was just like, it was being slammed with very cold winds mm-hmm. all the time. Inmates in D block were often thrown into their cells naked. They were not given much food. Guards in D block sometimes saw a man dressed in 1800s prison garb walking along those cells. And they would say like, hey, who are you? What are you doing here? Mm. Or whatever.
What are you doing with all those clothes on?
You would disappear.
Get those fucking things off.
Do we take our shirt off? Yeah. Okay.
It's a naked block here. It's called the D block for a reason, huh?
Show us your D. I think is what they said. On one occasion, when an inmate was locked in the worst cell in the block, this is called the hole, and the hole was kind of what it sounds like. So this whole block was, this whole string of cells was underground. The hole was a block with no sink or toilet. If you had to go to the bathroom, there was a hole cut into the cement that you would just go into. Mm-hmm. And that was basically your plumbing. And it was, you know, solitary confinement. So it was the worst place to be. You okay? What do you mm-hmm. get?
Still a there? Cat creeping around on here. Can't see him. Can't find him. Really nervous.
So one time there was an inmate in the hole, and that inmate began to scream. And he began to scream like, someone is in here, locked in here with me. Mm-hmm. He would say it. Someone with glowing eyes was locked in there with him. The guards, of course, ignore the screams, go like, this guy's crazy or mm-hmm. trying to get out, whatever. The next morning, they go inspect the cell, and the inmate is dead. Oof. And there are handprints around his throat. Oof. The autopsy concluded that the strangulation was not self-inflicted.
Oh.
In a completely isolated cell. Now, Patrick. I know what you're thinking. We've been friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, it's all well and good. Where's my evidence?
Exactly. These are
my photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are the glowing orbs, Clayton? How can I believe this if I don't see any glowing orbs?
So glad you said that. So in 2015, a woman named Sheila Sillery Walsh from Birmingham, England, was visiting Alcatraz with her partner, Paul Rice. Right? So according to Sheila, quote, as soon as we entered the prison, everything felt very eerie. I didn't feel comfortable there. Whilst doing, she says whilst because she's British.
Right, yeah.
Whilst doing an audio tour of the place, I casually stopped to take a snap of the empty visitation block window on my iPhone. I have for you a copy of that photo.
Oh, okay. That looks very much like a woman seated in the visitation window.
So this is the window. If we zoom in, there she is.
Interesting.
Can't see anymore, I guess, but that's her. Mm-hmm. All right. So that is a woman. There is. Would you describe her for us?
Oh, she looks like a maybe 1950s, 1960s era hairstyle, sitting maybe half turned towards the window, half turned away, but looking through the window with dark eyes and dark lips.
Yep, that sounds very good. So she takes a photo, and this is what she sees in the screen of her iPhone. Mm. But she did not see this woman in the room.
Right.
Like when she held up her phone to take the picture, it was nothing.
Right.
Takes a photo. In the photo on the screen, she sees the woman.
Right. And she's like, what is Steve Jobs doing with these phones? This is this is wonderful, frankly.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's AR now.
I didn't know I needed this.
2015. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But I love it. So she runs up to the window. She puts her face to the window and looks in. It's an enclosed room. The only way out is through this door. No one in the room. The room is completely empty.
Ooh.
And Paul also her partner Paul confirms this and says he was there. He saw the woman in the iPhone screen. Also peered in through the window. No one. There's no one in the room. Ooh. Nothing. This is the Lady of Alcatraz. And I guess that's really it. Is that good? You like it?
Wow, there's like 17 different ghosts. But
yeah,
like,
you know, it's hard to juggle so many.
Yeah.
But and there are more. We just didn't cover all of them.
Yeah. I'm sure Ed Harris's ghost is on there. I'm sure
we'll be soon.
Yeah,
we'll be soon for sure. Well, for sure. But that is the story of Alcatraz and the ghosts. Some of the ghosts that are there.
Hmm. Wow.
What do you think?
Pretty intense place.
Should we go?
I thought it was like a fun place. Turns out wasn't.
No, there'd be like slides, yeah. Like a ball pit, and I was like, I'm so excited now. I'll say, honestly, like if I'm not joking,
yeah,
less excited, less excited. Any final thoughts about Alcatraz? Or
really glad I was never in prison there. Really glad.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have lasted very long. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also really glad you didn't murder like 19 people in 1962. So glad. So, I mean, because if you had, I would have so many questions, and we wouldn't be friends, but also, like, I would be so confused.
Mm-hmm.
So for my own, like, personal, like, friendship, yes, I love it. Also, for my own personal, like, what is the world? What is humanity? What is existence? I also appreciate that because I'd be so confused.
Just glad I know your limit now. That's fine. 19? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, great. So this is our show. And if you like it, before we go, we should say, if you love this podcast, please share it with your friends. If you recommend this to 5 of your friends, that's huge for us. We're, you know, always trying to grow and trying to get more listeners. We have a weird and fun time here every week, and your weird friends can be part of that. So please let folks know. As far as this episode goes, all the notes are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. All our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. Now, Kai has become very busy, so I will just put this out there into the world. If anyone else out there listening is interested in like also helping with social media, we would love that. We cannot pay you, so it would be, you know, it's a labor of love, but if you like doing stuff on TikTok and you want to help out and help Kai and help us, we would love to hear from you. Patrick, final thoughts about Alcatraz?
It's called a rock for a reason.
Guess it is.
That's like seven stuff. Final thoughts. I have no idea.
Yep. No, it's tough. All right. Well, if you, listen next week and I guess, gosh, it's closed down. So I don't know. Don't commit so heinous a crime. They reopen Alcatraz and put you in there for sure. Definitely not. Because otherwise it's a pretty sure bet. We will talk about you next week on Is This a Ghost?